Chapter 15. Trust me, I want to take you, I replied, and I gave a sharp inhale as the exotic beauty gently tugged on my earlobe. I just don't think now.
Now is as good of a time as any,
Lisi purred, and her warm breath against my ear sent a tingle down my spine.
Should you fill me with your seed? Our wonderful child won't be born for another 9 months yet.
Your Majesty, don't forget about the heir, I reminded her in a gentle voice, and I ran my hands through her thick, dark hair. The toxins were one of the big reasons we decided it would be a better idea to wait.
Must we wait?
The Queen whispered.
Please, Griff, answer me honestly. Must we prolong the inevitable? You promised me a child. Why wait to enjoy the comfort of each other's bodies, especially when the circumstances are so stressful?
The exotic spices of Lisi's perfume wafted up my nose, and I gently inhaled the delightful smell. It was as if she'd been soaked in cinnamon and sunlight, and I felt myself becoming intoxicated by her presence. We have to wait, I sighed against my better judgment. I want to be with you, but we need to prioritize the child's health and well-being. I know pregnancy is a long process, but I don't even know how long it will be before the Guardians and I make our way up to the moon to take out Azraneath. It could be 3 months from now, or it could be 3 days. There's really no telling. These are unprecedented times, Queen Lisi, and if we're going to have a child together, I want us to do it right, and in the safest of conditions. Does that seem reasonable? The Luritamban Queen didn't look at all thrilled by my speech, but after a brief pause, she let out a soft sigh and nodded her head.
I know what you say is truth, she replied. You'd voiced your concerns when we first struck this deal, and I'd agreed to the terms you'd set. It's just, after being apart for so long, I forgot how much I truly cared for you, and the way you've taken care of my people and me. I simply wanted to repay the favor. I've always desired children, but for some reason the idea of creating a child with you is a dream come true, Griff. I'm likely just impatient to make it a reality.
Once everything settles, I promise you and I are going to share a marvelous evening you won't soon forget, I swore as I cupped Lisi's cheek in my palm. You're so lovely, Lisi, and I care for you so much. I'm only trying to look out for both you and our future child. Our son or daughter is going to grow up to be the ruler of Luritamba, and as such, I want to make sure your heir is as healthy and as strong as they can possibly be. Trust me when I'm saying I'm looking forward to having a child with you. You're going to be an amazing mother.
Oh, you're making me blush,
the queen giggled in a girlish way, and she leaned into my touch.
Thank you, Griff.
No need to thank me, I said, and then I bent down slightly and pressed my lips against hers. Our kiss was slow but passionate, and it seemed to be enough to tide the queen over, at least for now. Lisi was a headstrong, confident woman, so I knew when the time was right, she would hold me to my word, and together, we would share an intense night of lovemaking so powerful, we'd likely rouse the entire continent. I wasn't putting her off because I wasn't interested in mating with her. I simply wanted the timing to be perfect. Lisi and I remained wrapped up in one another for a while longer, and our embrace was only interrupted by a distinctive knock at the door. Were you expecting company? I asked the queen as we reluctantly disentangled our bodies from one another.
No, I wasn't expecting anyone other than you,
Lisi pouted before she smoothed the front of her shift dress and wiped her full red lips.
I wonder who that could be.
Another steady knock rang out, which told me this wasn't a casual visitor. It sounds like it could be important, I said as I crossed over to the door. And sure enough, the visitor was very important.
Mr. Griff,
Headmaster Sleet greeted me with a surprised look on his face.
I wasn't expecting to see you here. Is Queen Lisi?
I'm here.
Lisi called out from behind me, and when she approached the doorway, she wrapped her arm around my waist.
And you may call me Lisi, Headmaster. I insist.
Thank you. Lisi, the Storm Wizard managed. My sincerest apologies to you both. I hope I wasn't interrupting anything. You weren't, I insisted. We were just catching up with one another. Of course, Sleet remembered, and he offered the pair of us a smile. If this is a bad time, I can always speak with you both later.
This time is as fine as any, Queen Lisi declared. Would you care to join us, or would you prefer another location?
If you're comfortable in your chambers, I don't see any reason to go all the way over to my office, Sleet said.
I stepped aside to allow him into the room, and then we migrated over to the sitting area of the suite and got comfortable.
Have you heard anything from the Grand Mage? I asked the headmaster once we were settled.
Or King Ayun?
Queen Lisi chimed in.
Grand Mage Kennefic sent correspondence to Varlay early this morning, Sleet replied with a small smile. While the threat to Hartmire is now gone, there is plenty to do in terms of further protection and fortifying the Enclave's wall, just as it was when Varlay had been attacked by the Gandor. The Grand Mage is overseeing these repairs with King Ayun, and his men are standing guard outside of the city to make sure the threat doesn't return unexpectedly.
Ayun will not let your city down,
Queen Lisi declared, and her dark brown eyes flashed with a glimmer of pride.
Nor will the Otun and Luratamban soldiers who accompany him.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Sleet bowed his head in respect toward the Southern Queen.
The help of your armies is greatly appreciated, and the Grand Mage himself paid both them and King Ayun a great deal of praise in his message to us.
Good,
Lisi nodded.
I'm glad to hear Ayun is getting the appreciation he deserves.
Did the Grand Mage mention when he would return? I wondered. Obviously, there's no rush, and fortifying Hartmire's defenses is one of the most important things he could be attending to. I was just wondering if you had an estimate.
Galahad suggested he could be back in Varlay within the next few days, the Storm Mage answered. Once he's certain Hartmire is secure enough, he expressed his intent to return here to discuss the next steps for you and the Guardians.
Perfect, I said with a smile. I'd love an opportunity to speak with him about our findings, and I'd really like for him to be there when we discuss our plans for going after the demon.
Going after the demon?
Queen Lisi repeated back to me, and her elegantly arched eyebrows raised higher on her face.
You never did mention to me how you and your fellow guardians intended to defeat the monster atop the moon. Have you uncovered a way in one of your texts?
When it comes to the subject of defeating it, we don't have an exact plan, Your Grace, I replied. We've uncovered some clues about the last time the demon attacked, but our plans are speculative at the moment. That being said, from all we've gathered from our history books and our research materials, it seems we're going to have to travel up to the moon to fight the demon.
Is that even possible?
Lisi's eyebrows drew together.
How will you ascend to such a height? Won't that be dangerous?
It's still a work in progress, I admitted. The Guardians and I will be having a meeting soon to discuss it. And once we reach a decision, we'll call everyone together.
I am certain you and your friends will think of something.
The Luratamban Queen batted her long black eyelashes at me.
You are the strongest mages in the realm, after all, and I'm sure you'll find a way to reverse the plague that settled upon our world.
That's the intention. I smiled at my exotic lover. I certainly appreciate the praise and reassurance.
Headmaster Sleet, while the Guardians are up on the moon, what is the plan for the rest of our army?
Queen Lisi addressed the headmaster.
I know we've discussed the hordes of monsters that lie beyond the wall, but is there any other way my soldiers can be of aid? Are we making efforts to hunt down the beasts?
The Grand Mage has a small squadron out tracking the monsters, but there hasn't been any forces sent to directly attack,
Sleet revealed, and his pale eyes were weary with concern.
You see, there's still some lingering fear that going after the beasts now will only agitate them further and lead to a heartier attack on the Enclave. Grand Mage Kennefic isn't quite ready to pursue the threat, but but should they advance further into the realm, I'm sure his decision will shift.
Should they change, my soldiers will stand with yours,
Lisi declared.
Now, what can you tell me about the incoming threat?
The headmaster readjusted his half-moon glasses, and then he took a short breath.
Well, here's what we know so far.
The Luritomban Queen and the headmaster began to discuss battle strategy, and while it was definitely an interesting topic, I was only about 50% engaged. I wanted to know what the Mistral and Southern armies were going to be up to while the Guardians and I were on the moon, but at the same time, I still had much to attend to. Sleet seemed to take notice, and once the conversation between him and Lisi reached a pause, he turned his attention to me.
My apologies, Mr. Griff. We've been holding you hostage for quite some time, he realized. I know you have other engagements, so please, don't feel as if you have to stay. Queen Lisi and I still have much to discuss, and I don't want to waste your time.
Yes, Griff. Feel free to attend to your other duties,
Lisi chimed in.
We can catch you up on the rest later.
Are you sure? I pressed. I don't want to miss out.
You won't be missing anything highly necessary, Sleet insisted with a wave of his hand. Please, go ahead to the war camp. I'm sure your Hawk Clan family will be most excited to see you.
Thank you, sir. I smiled, and then I gave him and Queen Lisi a short but respectful bow. If you need me for any reason,
we'll find you,
the headmaster finished my sentence, and then he inclined his head to the doorway.
Now, go ahead, Mr. Griff. Have a good rest of your day.
Yes. See you later, my love.
Queen Lisi winked at me, and after I winked back, I turned on my heels and left the room. My journey out of the dorms was much less hectic than it had been before, and I noted the once-packed corridors were more akin to a ghost town than a tavern hall. All of the frantic mages had cleared, and the silence was so intense every step of my boots echoed down the entire corridor. Once I left the academy and stepped onto the grounds, I donned my gas mask for formality's sake, and then I began the trek down to the war camp to check in with the shapeshifters. I'd yet to see Freya or Vala today, so I was certain they were still with their mother and father, and I wondered what type of atmosphere I was about to walk into. The accommodations were more than adequate, but there were plenty of shifters and southern soldiers being housed in a singular space, so there was a chance of discomfort and unease amongst our foreign allies. As the camp's hill appeared to me in the distance, I became aware of a crunching sound behind me, and my hand instinctively flew to the dagger at my side. The footsteps sounded human in tone, but that didn't mean a thing in the current climate, so I gripped the hilt of my father's weapon, took a steady breath, and swung around to find a very startled moose boy behind me.
Make her, Murr! You scared the absolute piss out of me!
I exclaimed, and after I released a sigh, I sheathed my weapon.
Why did you sneak up on me like that? I didn't mean to,
Murr apologized in the language of the clans, and his dark brown eyes were so wide they took up an even greater portion of his face and made him look like a frightened, cornered animal.
I'm sorry, Griff. I didn't know what to say when I saw you in the distance, so I didn't say anything. But not saying anything obviously made things worse.
What are you doing here? I frowned, and then I softened my expression. Sorry. That sounded far harsher than I intended. Murr, what's going on? Why are you all the way out here instead of at the mansion?
I'm here to find Vala,
he revealed in a quiet but determined voice.
I know she is busy with her family, but I don't want to delay meeting her father. I'm worried if I wait too long, I'll lose my nerve. And I don't want Chief Fenrir to go too long without meeting me. I'm afraid he'll think I'm a coward if I don't present myself straight away.
He won't, I assured him in my friendliest tone. I think it's great you're going to meet him, and that you're taking the initiative instead of the easy way out. Going to go a long way with both Fenrir and Rhaetreia.
I certainly hope so,
Murr sighed, and he ran his hands through his thick curly hair.
So, how are you planning to begin this discussion?
I wondered as we resumed our walk toward camp.
If we're being perfectly honest,
I haven't thought that far ahead,
the young shapeshifter admitted, and he bit down on his lower lip.
My nerves have been too elevated.
Is this the first time you've had to have this talk? I wondered.
Yes,
Murr laughed lightly, and then his brown eyes took on a slightly dimmed cast as they fell to the blackened grass.
I mean, this is the first time I've had the opportunity. I'd hoped to have a talk like this to Yuli's father long ago, but...
The moose shifter's words gave way to a heavy silence, and I felt the weight of the things left unsaid fall around us. Murr had opened up to us about his first love on our first mission together in the Shadowscape, and this was only the second time he'd ever mentioned the girl. After a round of teasing from our other male friends, he disclosed to the group that the girl had lost her life in a raid, and it really seemed to have hurt him deeply. We never pressed the issue again, but I could only imagine how much that would have hurt him, especially at such a young age. I'm sorry if this is bringing up bad memories, I began to apologize, but Murr shook his head vigorously.
Don't be sorry,
he urged me, and then the light returned to his eyes almost as quickly.
I don't think the sadness of losing my friend will ever leave me, but since meeting Vala, my heart has healed. She has taught me how to truly love, and she makes me want to be the strongest version of myself I could possibly be.
Make her, Murr! You're making me well up over here!
I teased him, and I playfully hit him in the arm. In all seriousness, though, I'm glad you and Vala found each other. I know this talk with Fenrir isn't going to be easy, but I'll be here for you every step of the way. You're a great guy, and the Hawk Chief will see that right away.
Thank you, Griff, Murr chuckled. I hope to make a good impression so there is minimum bloodshed. Now, answer me honestly, Griff. Do I look disheveled in any way? I don't want the Chief to think I'm unkempt.
Not at all, I said, and I meant every word. You look great.
Thanks.
The young moose shifter gave me a small smile, and after he straightened out his black coat and took a breath, he glanced beyond us at the hill of the camp.
Shall we go?
Let's do it, I agreed. The moose shapeshifter and I began our descent into the war camp, and as we breached the tunnel and made our way down the corridor, I reached up and loosened the gas mask from around my face. Murr followed suit, and we let out simultaneous sighs of relief as the cool, clean air hit our faces. The sounds of the shapeshifters filed out into the hall, and I noticed Murr was clenching his fists over and over again as we neared the entrance of the main chamber.
Breathe, I insisted. It's all going to be all right, I promise.
Okay,
the moose shifter nodded slowly, and then he relaxed his hands at his sides. A few paces later, we entered the center of the camp. There was a brief moment when I felt as if I'd walked into HawkClan's dwelling on Eerie Island, and the spirited aura that filled the air gave me a sense of hope. The various shifter species were intermingled with the southern tribes throughout the cavernous chamber, and while there were divides and differences between the soldiers in every conceivable way, they seemed to have found some sort of way to communicate with one another. It didn't take me long to spot my blonde wife amongst the crowd of shapeshifters, and it took even less to pick out Vala and their parents. HawkClan's royal family was seated on a set of cushions on the floor, and each brandished large cups they sipped from every so often. It was strange to see something so casual in such a serious location, but Freya's cheeks were flushed pink with happiness, and her gold-flecked brown eyes glittered in a way I hadn't seen in a while. You've got this, I reminded Murr as we made our way over to my in-laws. Just relax, be respectful, and most importantly, just be yourself. They're going to love you.
I feel as if my head is going to explode,
Murr muttered, but he straightened his posture anyway.
But thank you. I will do my best.
Griff!
Freya exclaimed as we approached, and the Hawk Princess flashed me a bright smile before she patted a cushion beside her.
Come join us, my mate.
Hello, my beautiful wife. I greeted her, and then I acknowledged the rest of my in-laws. And hello to the rest of you as well. I trust you slept decently?
Yes, we did. Thank you for asking.
Rhaetreia smiled at me, and then the Hawk Queen's head tilted to the side when she noticed Murr.
Oh,
Hello there. Griff, who is your adorable friend?
Mer! You're here!
Vala gasped, and then she motioned for the moose shifter to join her.
Please come sit with us.
Okay.
Mer agreed, and he sat down on the cushion rather stiffly. Vala gently placed her hand on his arm, but retrieved it when she noticed her father's stern expression.
Who is this?
The hawk chief asked, and it wasn't quite clear who he was addressing.
Father, this is Mer,
Vala introduced him, but Fenrir didn't seem amused enough to let her continue. The hawk leader's black eyes were fixated on the antlers that rose up from the boy's thick, dark curls, and I watched his nostrils flare ever so slightly.
Why is there a member of Moose Clan among us?
He asked tensely.
I do not remember a moose shifter among us when we traveled from Eerie. Are you some sort of a spy? A stowaway, perhaps?
With all due respect, sir, I am not a part of Moose Clan. Not anymore,
Mer stated in a firm but respectful tone, and then he raised his chin.
I abandoned my clan after the horrible things they inflicted upon the other clans, and chose to come back to Varley to train under the warrior Griff and study at the Academy of Varley.
Is this true, Griff?
Fenrir raised a bushy eyebrow.
This moose is your friend.
It is, I confirmed. Mer has no association with Moose Clan, and hasn't for quite some time now. In fact, he's accompanied me on several occasions on very important missions throughout Mistral and the Shadowscape, and he's earned my trust in every conceivable way. He's my friend, and a very respectable young man who will be a great warrior with more time and training.
Respectable,
Fenrir huffed.
I lost all respect for Moose Clan after their last attempt to harm my family. I have yet to release those feelings of dismay.
Fenrir, please!
Rhetrea interjected in a low voice, as her golden brown eyes darted around the cavernous chamber.
Let us not call too much attention to the boy.
Sure enough, the Hawk Queen's assessment was correct, and there were a good number of shapeshifters staring over at us and trying to understand what was happening. I noticed a few among them who eyed Mer with similar expressions as the Hawk Clan chief, and my heart dropped when I realized they held on to the same prejudice. Mer's cheeks flushed scarlet when he noticed the extra attention falling in his direction, but he managed to maintain a steady gaze.
Sir, I swear to you I am no spy,
he addressed Fenrir as Vala squeezed his arm protectively.
I am a friend to Griff of Njordan Falls, and a friend to Princess Freya and her sister.
The tension was so thick between us that I could cut it with a knife, and my heart thudded in anticipation. I prayed to the Maker a larger scene wouldn't be made, and I hoped for Mer and Vala's sakes this would end well. Freya took my hand in hers and tightened her fingers around mine. Her face was stoic as she assessed the situation, but I knew from the warmth of her skin that she was just as uncomfortable as me.
You two are involved,
Rhetrea finally assessed in the calm and quiet voice that only mothers knew how to use, as she studied her daughter's hold on Mer's arm.
Aren't you, my Vala? Yes, mother,
Vala admitted, and she tucked a strand of her russet hair behind her ear.
We are together.
And you knew of this,
Fenrir addressed Freya, and his black eyes were like angry storm clouds as they bore into hers.
You allowed your sister to have involvement with a moose!
Father, do not blame Freya!
Vala interjected, and she raised her hands in the air.
She did not approve at first either! This is true,
my blonde wife agreed with her little sister.
However, my opinions have shifted on the matter.
What are you saying?
Chief Fenrir clarified as he crossed his muscular arms against his chest.
Are you suggesting you approve of this union between the shifters of two different clans?
Yes,
Freya said simply, and it was almost as if all of the air had left the room. Aside from a few comments here and there, I'd never heard the Hawk Princess publicly voice her approval of Vala and Mer's relationship, and the pair of young shapeshifters seemed just as awestruck as the rest of us.
Freya,
Fenrir thundered, but my wife held her ground.
Father, my husband speaks the truth,
the warrior princess interjected.
Mer is not the man you believe he is. He is not one of the cruel, terrible Moose Clan monsters who kidnapped my mother and hurt so many of my people. He is a brave warrior who has had both mine and my sister's backs in battle against herds of shadow beasts. In fact, he saved my life once. Not only is he strong in battle, but he is kind and gentle, Vitvala, in all the ways a mate should be. You can see it in the way he stares at her father. He loves her. He cares for her. And I know deep in my heart that he would do whatever it took to protect her, no matter the cost. I understand this union might look strange, but it as you've once said on Eerie Island. How will we find peace if we do not learn to work together and unite as one in every way possible? Vala is happy, and all I seek is my sister's happiness. So please, Father, give Mer a chance to prove he is worthy of her.
As everyone fell into silence, Freya turned to Mer and gestured at him as if to urge him forward. Thankfully, the young shifter caught on immediately.
Every word Princess Freya speaks is the truth,
he declared, and he studied my in-laws with a determined gaze.
I am deeply in love with Vala. She is the kindest, bravest, and most beautiful woman I've ever had the pleasure of knowing, and I would do anything in the world to keep her happy and protected. I know our pairing might come as a shock to you, especially considering the clan I was born into, but I can assure you I have no affiliation with those villains and traitors who tried to harm your family, Chief Fenrir. I might take the shape of a moose, but Moose Clan is far behind me. I don't look to my past any longer, only to my future. And I certainly hope Vala will be a part of that future. I know we do not know each other, sir, but I wish to change that, and hopefully prove to you I am worthy of your daughter.
Mer reached out to his girlfriend, and Vala threaded her fingers through his without hesitation. Chief Enrir's face was unreadable as he watched the two young shapeshifters, and I searched his features to determine his thoughts on the matter.
Fenrir,
Rhetrea prompted her husband in a quiet voice.
Please say something to the young man.
The Hawk leader's expression remained as stoic as ever, and I was almost scared to breathe and risk breaking the silence. Finally, Fenrir lifted his chin and puffed out his chest slightly.
You would keep her protected, the Hawk chief asked in a gruff tone. You would swear to keep her safe and content above all else.
Absolutely, Mer swore to him. I would do anything for Vala.
Fenrir nodded slowly at the response, and when he looked to Rhetrea, she gestured to Vala, as if she were urging her husband to continue on. I'd never been more grateful for the Hawk Queen and her ability to bring everyone together, and calm her husband's more intimidating qualities.
And Vala, you are happy with this young man?
He asked his daughter.
Do you feel the same feelings for him as he feels for you?
I do,
the russet-haired princess replied.
I love him, father.
Freya and I glanced at each other in anticipation. But before we could react any further, Chief Fenrir extended his hand out to Mer.
There is still much I would like to discuss with you, Mer,
the Hawk leader said.
I trust my daughter's and my son-in-law's words, but I wish to learn more about you if you want to have any type of relationship with my Vala. Are those fair terms?
Of course,
Mer agreed, and he took Chief Fenrir's hand with an easy grace.
I look forward to getting to know you, sir. Thank you for giving me a chance.
Fenrir nodded, and when the pair dropped their handshake, Vala threw her arms around her father and squeezed him with intensity.
Oh, thank you, father!
She gushed, and as she leaned into the embrace, the Hawk Chief softened and hugged his daughter back.
I love you, Vala, he whispered. I only worry because I want what's best for you and your sister.
I love you too,
she murmured back. While the Hawk Clan royal family shared their affection with one another, I looked to Myr, whose facial expression had shifted entirely. All of the fearfulness and discomfort had been replaced by pure happiness, and when he met my gaze, he offered me a smile as if to thank me. I gave him the tiniest of nods in response and followed it up with a wink. I was glad everything had worked in his favor, and I was looking forward to seeing what the future had in store for the pair of young shapeshifters.
"Now enough of this emotional business,"
Rhaetreia decided as she wiped a tear from her golden brown eyes and picked up her cup.
"Let's have a toast to Vala and to Myr, to bless their new relationship and welcome Myr into our family."
"To Myr and Vala,"
I agreed, and the other hawkshifters echoed my sentiments and raised their glasses to the happy young couple. After I spent some quality time with my wife's family, Freya and I decided to depart and get back to the mansion. Vala and Myr announced they would join us later, which told me they wanted some alone time with Rhaetreia and Fenrir, so we granted them their privacy and bade the shapeshifters farewell. We began our ascent up the tunnel, and I wrapped my arm around my warrior wife's waist. "Thank you for speaking up for Myr," I said. "I wasn't expecting you to stand up for him, but your words really seemed to sway your father in the right direction."
"He makes my sister happy,"
Freya acknowledged with the smallest of smiles.
"That's all any of us could ever ask. I do not know how a mating between two different species would work out, but I've seen the way those two look at one another, and I see so much of us in them. If she cares for him even half of the amount that I care for you, my husband, who am I to deny them a chance to be together?"
"You've come a long way," I praised her, and I leaned in and kissed her soft golden hair. She smelled of lavender and sea salt, and the familiar perfume sent waves of comfort through me as I drew her closer. "You have one of the biggest hearts of anyone I know. I love you so much, Freya."
"I love you too, my darling,"
the hawk woman murmured, and after we shared a kiss, we donned our masks and left camp to head home. That evening, after having a lovely meal with my friends and family, I retired to my bedroom early, and I was accompanied by Syra, Aaron, and Layla. The beautiful mages and I were too tired to do more than cuddle up together, but that was enough to satisfy me. Layla and Syra were curled up on either side of me, while Aaron spooned her body around to Layla, and within moments of laying down in bed, my lovers drifted off into sleep. The sounds of their sighs and soft snores was like a familiar song, and it began to lull me into a state of relaxation. It was exactly what I needed after a long day with the Southern armies, and the warmth of my lovers' bodies was the greatest comfort I could have asked for. I settled back into my fluffed-up pillow and stared up at the ceiling. Soon, I drifted off into a pleasant sleep, and I found myself in a dreamscape that was unlike the others. Instead of the usual blue-lit foggy room, I was in the field outside of Varlay. Only, it appeared as it did pre-war camp and pre-moonshift. In fact, the field appeared as it did just before Karth's army of mega-sized monsters, emerald green and full of life. I stared up at the cerulean sky in wonder, and for a moment, I forgot the battles and the troubles we'd recently had, and I found myself lost in the memory of what once was. I slowly began to walk around, and I was pleasantly surprised when my every step wasn't accompanied by the crunching sound of burnt earth I was so used to. In fact, every stride was in silence, and when I took long, deep breaths, I found the air was no longer sulfurous. I wasn't sure what I believed in regards to an afterlife, but if this was it, I wasn't mad at all. I bent down to touch the grass and let out a laugh of amusement when the blades gently poked my palm. Peace I felt was stronger than I'd experienced in a long while, and I sat there for a little while and simply relaxed. After what felt like an eternity of rest in this dreamscape, I went to take a long, deep breath, only to be surprised when it wasn't crisp or clean anymore, and instead smelled like dust and decay. I threw my hand over my nose to block the intruding smell from entering my sinuses, but the effort did little to block out the noxious aroma. The bright blue sky began to darken until it was the sickening gray color I'd grown accustomed to, and a shudder ran through me as the sun vanished and the blood-red moon appeared. I rose to my feet, and my hands instinctively flew to my abdomen, but my bandolier wasn't on my person. On some level, I knew this was just a dream, but I couldn't help escape my habits and survival instincts.
Beastmaker, your world is nearly mine. Get out of my head, I growled,
but my threat was met with a single blood-chilling laugh.
We won't let you take our world without a fight,
I interrupted the ancient being.
I'm not afraid of you, Azraneath. We're coming for you.
The sound of its laughter filled my head until everything else was completely blocked out, and my knees were weak. Everything around me began to darken to a rich black, and then I awoke with a start. I sat up straight in my bed, and I felt around desperately as my heart pounded like a drum in my chest.
Griff?
Syra's voice called out, but her voice was muffled, like she was far away. All I could hear was the sound of my heart rate and my heavy breaths. Sweat beaded across my forehead, and I felt like I was burning up with fever. I hadn't expected the effort of waking up to be so taxing, but I could hardly steady my trembling limbs.
We're out of time, I murmured.
Out of time?
The curly-haired summoner repeated back.
Out of time for what? Griff, what's going on?
Azraneath,
I breathed as I swept my damp hair from my forehead. The demon is close to devouring the realm.